Welcome to Luke 21 Radio, a broadcast explaining biblical prophecy in the tradition of St. Augustine. And now, from Greenville, South Carolina, here's your host, Steve Wood.
Hi, this is Steve Wood, and welcome to Luke 21. And today we are looking at an incredible, important passage of Scripture. If you're interested in understanding the overall schemes of biblical prophecy, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is a really key passage. And this is a continuation of our last episode. We're trying to determine the real meaning of what is described in verse 17 of chapter 4, commonly known as the rapture. And let's look at those verses 15, 16, and 17. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord. That's your first key word, coming. And we saw last episode that word is parousia in Greek, and it's an English word in our dictionaries now, coming straight from this passage. The coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the angel's call, archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up. And that word in Greek is one word, caught up, and that's the Greek word was translated into Latin by St. Jerome. The Latin word becomes the root of the English word rapture. So caught up is our second key word. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Meet being M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T. And that word meet is our third key word to put in context what is talked about regarding the rapture in verse 17. And so we shall always be with the Lord. So again, our first key word is parousia. And why that is important, that is introducing what is being talked about in verse 17. And if you remember, I cautioned strongly against a method of interpretation, which I called the dive bomb. And basically, when you come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a lot of, quote, prophecy experts, unquote, just zero in, meow, and right to verse 17, go to the word for rapture or caught up, and then they either leave or import their own meaning into what's going on, and they forget to mention or don't mention verse 15. This is talking about the parousia, because the Greek word for being caught up doesn't say anything about what will happen after those who are alive and living, as well as the dead believers, are caught up to meet Christ in the air. Doesn't say they're going to be in heaven for 7 years or 7 minutes. It just doesn't say. So that's why we need the context in order to get the meaning. And the context means we just don't focus on verse 17. We look at the words around the word rapture, and we can find out what we want to talk about. And just a second caution. There are prophecy teachers right here on YouTube and other media that don't know Greek, never studied Greek, but they're capable of quoting Greek words. And as a result, a lot of people say, well, you know, he seems like a good guy. He loves God, loves the scripture, and he just quoted a Greek word, so it must be true. And I have heard misinterpretations of this passage. I can't even count how many times. So if somebody misinterprets a Greek word and takes it out of context, because that's repeated 1,000 times across the country, doesn't make it true. You look at the context. And the key word, again, for the rapture is parousia. Now, I just listened 2 days ago during my lunch hour. I looked up Charlie Kirk and wanted to watch one of his episodes. And I like Charlie Kirk. He's a great guy. And he had a pastor from Calvary Chapel on who also seemed to be a great guy. And they were talking about the rapture, and they talked about this very passage. But what he did, he dive bombed verse 17, talked about being caught up in verse 17. That's the word for the rapture. And then he just left. Didn't look at the surrounding words or verses, went to the book of Revelation and made an enormous error about that, and then came back and said, this is what 1 Thessalonians 4 means. We don't want to do that. Now, I want to be as utterly transparent as possible. How did I come up with what I'm sharing with you? Well, I brought here with me a book. This is called The Little Kittle, and Kittle is the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, and Kittle was one of the primary researchers for it. The Kittle Dictionary of Greek Words in the New Testament is the most comprehensive tool, I guess you would say, of any place, anywhere in the world. There's never been anything like it. And what I am holding is affectionately called Little Kittle. This is 1900-page Greek dictionary. This is the little version, because the complete version, which came out first, was 10 volumes, and it was over 9,200 pages. You needed to know Greek even to know which volume to pick off the shelf to try to research this. So in any case, this is the highest standard for interpreting Greek words in the world. Now you say, well, that doesn't help me a lot. Well, I hope to show you in a future episode or in our new Luke21.com website, which is almost ready to fly, how you can access either Little Kittle or Big Kittle. I have them both now in electronic format. And it's simply this. You open the Logos Bible software or the Verbum Bible software. And if you buy the Kittle as one of the books for that, you just go open an English Bible, you put the cursor under the word coming, and you do a right click. And when you do a right click, you'll see TDNT. That's a Theological Dictionary New Testament. You click on that, and you go to the most comprehensive dictionary of Greek words that's ever produced in the history of Christianity. These men have gone through and they see how the Greek word was used in secular society, how the Greek word was used in the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, and how the Greek word is used by the various authors of the New Testament, okay? And I'm going to give you, and hopefully we can throw this up on the screen, what Kittle says about parousia, our first key word. Quote, visit of a ruler. It's summarizing what this word means. In other words, if you were a shopkeeper in Thessalonica, not a wealthy guy, just an average person, you would know exactly what this word meant. It's a visit of a ruler. It finds technical use for the visits of rulers or high officials. On the occasion of such visits, there are flattering speeches, delicacies to eat, asses for the baggage, street improvements, wreaths or gifts of money, and under the empire, the ceremonies became even more magnificent, and visits are marked by new buildings, the institution of holy days, and whatever. In other words, what would happen was the ruler, the king, or a victorious general would come towards Thessalonica, Athens, Rome, whatever. And as he was coming in as a mark of acknowledging his dignity, the residents would go out, be caught up, this is the word, and they would go out to meet the one coming in and return with him. So that's what parousia means in the context of the rapture. There's that third important word. Remember, we're parousia, caught up. Again, caught up is one word in Greek. And then we have the word meet in verse 17. I'll read that one more time. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. Now, meeting the Lord in the air is a cousin word to parousia. Parousia means coming, and it was a royal coming with a celebration and greeting everyone and all that type of thing. And then to meet, this is what Kittle, TDNT, the Theological Dictionary New Testament says, quote, in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, there will be, at the Lord's return, a rapture of his people to meet him. The word was used for the public welcome accorded to important visitors. And, okay, the contemporary rapture at any moment theory says, at the coming of the Lord, those who are alive and living, as well as the dead believers, will go out to meet the Lord as he's coming into town, but they don't come into town. They go back up to heaven for 7 years. That's not what this word means. This would be like be a great offense. They're coming to your town. You're going out to meet them and then returning to town. And if you want a picture of this, just how it happened, how this Greek word is commonly used, a very important verse, Acts 28, verse 15, says, as the brethren there, when they heard of us, came as far as the Forum of Appius. St. Paul, as a prisoner, taken from Jerusalem, is now approaching Rome. He is 40 miles from Rome, and this is one of the key moments in the history of humanity because the apostle of the Gentiles is about to enter the capital of the empire for the first time as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And the believers thought he was so important that he went out to meet, the same word used in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, to meet St. Paul. They went 40 miles outside of Rome to meet him because of his dignity and come back with him. And then it says, and others came from three taverns, 30 miles away, to meet us. And so you ask yourself the question, what is going to happen at the rapture? There's the rapture at any moment theory that dive bombs into 1 Thessalonians 4:17, says we're caught up. That's true. We are caught up. But what happens after we're caught up? They go someplace else or import some meaning, but the context and the words in the immediate context say we're joined with him, we meet him, and then return. Christ is coming at the second coming, and we accompany him back to earth. Now, how long that's going to be, I absolutely guarantee you it will not be 7 years. That's what the rapture at any moment theory says, that Christ is coming back, and we go out to officially greet him to come back to earth, and then we go to heaven for 7 years instead. No, it might be 7 minutes on the way back and maybe 7 seconds. I'm not exactly sure what, but I do know we'll accompany him back to earth and be with him for eternity. And that's the rapture, according to St. Paul, in context. And I can't highlight enough how important this is, because if you think before any trouble would come to this earth or to Christians being persecuted, that you'll be taken up to heaven for a 7-year escape plan, and instead you're here, you're going to have a radical review of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm Steve Wood, your host, and thanks for joining us on Luke 21. Please remember to tell your friends that Luke 21 is now available on YouTube.
Luke 21 is a radio outreach of Family Life Center International. Visit us online at luke21.com.